Welcome into the Source State Podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball podcast on the KSR Podcast Network, presented by Club Blue. Club Blue is the official collective partner of the University of Kentucky. I am your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very excited to be joined once again by the one and only Sean Smith. Sean, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, Jack Pilgrim. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a minute. Needed a second to regroup after a really hectic week with portal news and all the contact and all of the ins and outs and stays and goes and all that fun stuff. So it feels good to just kind of be able to take a deep breath and kind of let this marinate a little bit, let it soak in. It's been a hectic, at least a couple of newsy things that have popped up, controversial things that have popped up this week, starting with the addition of Florida transfer Denzel Aberdeen, one that we all love and was very, just super exciting move for Kentucky, followed immediately right at the portal buzzer deadline, Travis Perry announcing his decision to, I guess he never even announced it. His name just showed up in the portal. So it's been kind of a back and forth swing of emotions for Big Blue Nation. So it's weird. It's an interesting week, definitely for sure, Sean.
Yeah, just a note on Travis, I guess when we started getting like the confirmation from Colin Chandler and Trent Noah as we were getting close to the deadline, I was like, well, we haven't got one from Perry, but I still didn't think that we would get what we got last night. I mean, that actually did catch me off guard a little bit, but majority of Kentucky's work was already complete. I feel like that, their roster as it is now is one of the best in college basketball and a contender for a national championship, regardless of what the decision that was made leading up to the portal deadline. But man, the additions that Mark Pope has added, starting this week with getting a guy in Denzel Aberdeen, a national championship experience, a guy that made impactful plays in the NCAA tournament. Now this roster's got multiple guys that had deep runs in March Madness. And I think that's an element that obviously this roster was missing outside of a guy or two, but I feel like that Mark Pope has had an excellent couple of weeks here, putting this team in position to on paper be one of the best in college basketball.
We'll obviously talk about the Final Four potential and just how good this group is, because I do think that, if you look at all of the national rankings and the post kind of portal deadline updates, everybody with a pulse and people that actually know what they're talking about believe that Kentucky is at minimum a top 15 team, depends on where you go. Some are saying it's a top 3 team in college basketball. So we know that part. We'll address that. But I do feel like because of the kind of controversy and just the, storyline buildup, we got to talk about Travis Perry and just kind of just how we got to this point, the expectation internally. Was it something that they knew was coming? Was it something that had been rumored in the past? Like, how did we get to this point? So I'll be honest, it was not something that I was personally expected. Now, I had heard, at various points throughout the season, maybe even immediately after the season ended, like, hey, he might be considering it, but you kind of heard that with everybody. Like, there were various points of the season that I, heard Colin Chandler could be a potential portal name. Trent Noah could be a potential portal name. Brandon Garrison. There were other schools that were already lined up, ready to sign him in the portal. He hadn't even entered the portal at that stage. So it just comes with the territory of the portal era. So it wasn't anything abnormal. It wasn't anything that kind of caught me off guard of, we need to be, kind of have our eyes on it. And then as time kind of creeps on and on and on, and we get closer to that deadline and he hadn't popped, there was pretty firm optimism internally that the roster was set. After they added Aberdeen on Monday, it was a, let's ride. I love this group as it's currently constructed. We have potentially two more spots with the house settlement, moving the roster limit to 15, but they were comfortable at that 13 spot. And if you wanted to add a Braden Hawthorne or somebody like that who would be a long-term development piece, that's a conversation for another time. But the guys who would be playing would be the ones that were the 13 that they already had. And then boom, Travis pops. So when you ask people around the program, was it expected? Was it a surprise? The vibe I got was definitely a surprise, while also just kind of understanding the territory, Sean, of It's the portal era. There's always somebody around left corner, right corner waiting to throw a massive bag at you or a massive roll. And I don't think that those two things are going to align next season in Lexington had Travis Perry decided to come back, Sean.
Yeah, I think with the guys that obviously have decided to come back, like Colin Chandler, and then the additions that Mark Pope added over the last few weeks, I think you could look at this and say that it was maybe junior year before Perry got those minutes that maybe he got this year. And we know that injuries and other things kind of played into Kentucky having to go as deep as they did into the bench. So this is one of those decisions that I don't have a problem with it, because I feel like Travis made the decision that's best for him to go play elsewhere. Would I've still liked to have had him on this roster and commit long-term to Kentucky? Yeah, because I think maybe at some point down the line, maybe that role got back to what he wanted to be, Jack. But then again, we know all these guys want to play. And I'm sure those conversations, you know, were had behind closed doors about maybe what the role is expected to be, what they think that is best going into this next year. I guess what just surprised me was just how late the decision came. But then again, Kentucky just added another backcourt piece as early as this week. So maybe that plays into it a little bit as well. Within like the last 7 days, they had another guy in the backcourt. So maybe it was something Travis looked at the entire thing beginning to end, and that's why you set a deadline is so guys can enter. But it's just one of those that right up to the 11th hour, I was not expecting that notification when it came across my phone last night. But, you know, good luck to Travis Perry, in-state kid that, you know, I'll still be pulling for, and interested to see where he ends up.
And I do think some of the dialogue has been a little lame. Like, I'll be totally honest. I do think that it's just easy to see a kid who, you know, there were times it felt like he was drowning in a very difficult situation. I mean, he signed up for a role that was not what he got in year one. He had to start 4 games at the University of Kentucky as a freshman, a fringe top 100 recruit coming in at the University of Kentucky at 6'1" in the most dominant conference in the history of college basketball, playing 31 games and starting 4 of them. So I think the opportunity to throw jabs at him and kind of do the see at Murray State, Morehead State, go to Brescia, go to Asbury, like those kind of conversations, it's not productive. It makes the fan base look bad, because what happens if Travis Perry goes to his next stop, thrives, and then does come back to Kentucky wanting to, you know, finish what he started, you know, while playing? Because you have to understand where he's coming from, where he's looking at the landscape of the roster and saying, I don't have a spot here. I don't have a clear role. And, you know, I've been playing varsity basketball since I was a seventh grader in Lyon County. Like, I want to go somewhere where I can play and show that I'm capable, while also, you know, leaving that door open. And, you know, like, he's as diehard of a Kentucky fan as anybody you will ever meet in your existence. So I don't know, just kind of feels like turning on him at this stage was a little lame. And I know it's a vocal minority. It's always a vocal minority, but those people, I really don't think are doing Big Blue Nation a service in this type of situation. So I am rooting for Travis Perry. I think those people especially are going to kind of get a reality check pretty quick when they see the schools that are involved with Travis, because it's a whole heck of a lot of high majors and a couple in the SEC especially. I think there's a very real chance that he'll be suiting up for a team that Kentucky will be facing this upcoming season. So I'm rooting for Travis. Neither side is in the wrong for how this unfolded. Mark Pope had to build this roster the way he saw it with his own vision, and Travis Perry had to do what was best for his future.
He did. And, you know, I told you back in the fall when I went to Purdue, you know, Matt Painter talked to 15 minutes with me about Travis Perry and how badly he wanted him out of high school. And we know that's one of the best offensive minds in college basketball. But I guess just when you look at it, and, you know, when a Caden Lewis decommits, maybe Travis is sitting there wondering, okay, what are we going to do with the roster? Is that now a guard spot to where maybe there's a role? And then you go, and I get it, it's not always the point guard position, but when you add another guard and you can combine and mix and match names, when you add Denzel Aberdeen, it kind of, you look at it and say, maybe I am down the list pretty far on minutes. And then when you kind of see the finality of this thing coming together, that's when you decide to maybe pursue something else. But, you know, best wishes to him. I think he's going to have a good career wherever he ends up, and I think he'll be impactful.
Yeah, I do too. So that it's kind of funny, the dynamic and like what's at stake, because I do think at the next stop, he's going to get a quite substantial pay raise. And I do think he's going to actually play and have a pretty clear cut role where that is. And it's funny how the conversation, it was the exact opposite for Denzel Aberdeen the day before and how Kentucky was able to land him. So I thought that story was pretty cool, Sean. Landing Denzel Aberdeen, my understanding, and we have, you know, quotes from him and both Denzel and his father on KSR Plus, shout out Jacob Polacek for doing that. But it was my understanding that they had some options kind of lined up after missing on the guys last week and, you know, missing on Wesley Yates, missing on Lamar Wilkerson. They kind of rebuilt the big board, found some guys that they liked. And when Denzel popped up, you know, he announced on April 18th and it was like, that kind of fits the identity of what we're looking for to kind of fill that last spot. Let's just swing for the fences. Cause if he's leaving a national championship roster as a, you know, going to be a starter for next season coming back, like what's his ask going to be? Like what's, you know, he must be just impossible to get for a, you know, the role that we're going to be able to offer and the money that we're going to be able to offer. Doubt it's going to be able to happen, but let's just see what happens. So then April 18th is when he puts that announcement out there. It's my understanding over the next 48 hours, Kentucky just kind of dug in, the staff put its heads together and said, let's come up with a game plan and a you know, plan of attack to show him a presentation that's going to blow his mind and why he is kind of the missing link to what we're going to try to do next season. They finally get on the phone on April 20th. That's when his name pops in. My understanding, they had a Zoom call, and Denzel talked about this on KSR Plus, a long Zoom call that basically went through every single scenario and the fit and the system and where he thrives and where he needs to improve on, and just laid it all out on the line and made a competitive offer that would make it worth his while with NIL. That's obviously important in today's era. And it was my understanding that it went into the early hours of Monday morning and he was committed by noon the next day. So I think it was kind of a Hail Mary shot to land him. And it just has been kind of funny to see the national outrage about, you know, Kentucky landing him and how Kentucky is just kind of wrong for the sport. And this is the reason why we need to, you know, put guardrails up and fix the sport, because Kentucky is just loading up on all these, you know, all these players and little old Florida who spent $3 million on its starting point guard, bringing out the tiny violins for that. It just makes no sense to me, but it's just funny how the narrative has shifted 48 hours between Travis Perry and Denzel Aberdeen. But it's a really cool kind of backstory to get to the, you know, kind of final missing piece for this very, very good roster under Mark Pope in year two.
And they landed a very, very good missing piece. And I mean, just 2 weeks ago, this guy's playing on the biggest stage in college basketball, you know, winning a national championship and making impactful plays in an NCAA tournament run. And that's what you hope that he brings to Kentucky's roster. But also, Jack, and starting with him, and we'll work our way through as we go, but like I think that Kentucky's added guys that still have the best version of themselves in front of them across this roster this offseason. I mean, you're talking Aberdeen and Diabate. Like I think that those teams got a good version of that guy, but I think that there's even a better version with maybe more impactful roles in this next season of college basketball. I think you can say the same for Jaden Quaintance and all these guys that Pope has added, Jalen Lowe, like across the board with this roster, you've got guys that I think are going to reach the best version of themselves as juniors, seniors, and sophomores as they move throughout their career. But getting a guy like Aberdeen, a great athlete, it's going to make some tough plays for you, that has big game experience playing in the round that you want to get to and what your ultimate goal is. That is something that's going to be added to this roster. If you get Otega Owe back, that's had a Sweet 16 run. Diabate's had deep tournament runs. Like those things, you can't overshadow like how impactful and how important those things are in this era of college basketball, that guys have gone on deep NCAA tournament runs and you add something to this roster that they haven't had.
So we can just kind of transition into the kind of big picture landscape, because, you know, we haven't gotten to do a ton of shows kind of breaking down the ins and outs of it. So Adam Luckett on KS Board kind of broke down the, you know, just what the post Aberdeen and post Travis Perry, you know, departure, like what the rotation kind of looks like now. So your first five could potentially be Pittsburgh transfer Jalen Lowe, Florida transfer Denzel Aberdeen, Otega Owe returning, that remains continues to be the expectation. Alabama transfer Modi Abate, Arizona State transfer Jaden Quaintance, and then your bench consists of Jasper Johnson, Brandon Garrison, Colin Chandler, Andrija Jelovic, Cam Williams, Trent Noah, and Malachi Moreno. I mean, when you're looking at, you know, just having a little bit of everything, when you talk about defensive versatility, when you talk about playmaking, when you talk about, you know, I think shooting is probably the biggest question mark if you're looking for one, but where they fall short there, it's just the athletes and the playmaking and just, you know, the switchability, being able to play 1 through 3 or 2 through 4 or 3 through 5 or 4 and 5. Like, there's just so much versatility in that realm that there really doesn't appear to be a clear-cut flaw on that roster, even following Travis Perry's departure, and if we do hold firm at 12 scholarship pieces, Sean.
I think the roster is solid, top to bottom. And you know, we could pick apart some things going into last year that maybe we didn't like, and especially after the year started, we could sit there and say, okay, like if this doesn't go well for Kentucky – you know, they're going to struggle. Right now, Jack, I'm having a hard time on paper finding those things, because the biggest upgrade for me is just the athleticism that's been added. The athleticism that I think is going to make them better defensively right off the bat. And, you know, there's the names. And I got a question for you, too. How important is it for Jasper's development, Jack, that he may come in with a bench role and not have to have so much on his shoulders, you know, from day one? And then that goes for, you know, both those young pieces of in-state guys, like that they can come in and there's plenty there, you know, with Brandon Garrison and Jaden Quaintance with Malachi. Then you've got all these backcourt pieces with veteran experience to kind of help mold Jasper into that role. But they've got the difference-making freshmen that can get there as the season goes along, but you don't have to really lean on those guys as much.
Yeah, it's a great question. And honestly, I think Travis Perry kind of plays a part in that, because as much as Pope says that he would never promise roles and, you know, guarantee minutes, when you look at the end of your bench and there's that option sitting there, there's at least a second thought of, okay, do I go Travis here or do I trust Jasper here? You know, is Jasper going to give me a little bit more than Travis could right now? Like, it's just that next thought, instead of always having to look over your shoulder if you're Jasper, if you are Travis, to where that I need a shot maker off the bench. Jasper has a pretty firm role. And like, there's a chance that he ends up, you know, he's going to play starter level minutes anyway. I think he's going to be one of those guys that kind of lives in that, you know, maybe like 18 to 20, 21 minute range. But I do see him in a really comfortable, you know, player friendly role that is going to really kind of cater to his strengths and not put him in uncomfortable spots where he has to do too much as an on ball playmaker and, you know, kind of get into the dancey, like, you know, playing out of his comfort zone, where he can just thrive, you know, play within himself and, you know, knock down, catch and shoot shots and, you know, play in transition, do some of the things that he really does well. I think it's going to put him in position to be, you know, a first round pick, potentially a lottery pick. The upside that he brings to the table, I think the best chance for him to hit that in year one at Kentucky is in that very specific role, rather than you know, he has to be the guy in the starting lineup or whatever. So I think he's going to be better off because of this.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing to have those veteran guys around him to where he can kind of come in and, you know, play his way into whatever his role is at Kentucky. And I'm not ready to say that this team's going to struggle to shoot the three. Like, I know that's kind of a thing that people are looking at is, you know, is this team going to shoot it as well as the last one did? I think the shots are going to come from different spots. I think the volume is something that Mark Pope is going to preach in the offseason to get to that number of 30 attempts per game that he wants to get to. And if Kentucky makes 8-9 on average a game, I think they're going to be better defensively. I think they're going to get to the better, you know, get better at getting to the rim and getting some baskets there. I think they're going to be able to turn people over. Some areas that they struggled in this past year, I think are going to be improved with this roster, that if they drop 3% or so with their 3-point average on the season, Jack, I'm okay with it as long as they're still getting that volume that they want to get to, because I think they're going to be a better offensive rebounding team. I think they're going to get buckets in other ways, but this is still a roster that's going to knock down perimeter shots.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it was funny. I was talking to we had Jasper Johnson, his dad, on our Sunday morning sports talk radio show on Sunday. And he talked about just kind of the excitement of the roster and just how it's built. And you always want to just kind of, you know, feel out the parents and how they see things unfolding. And I thought it was funny that when he was asked about what the roster looks like and things that, you know, who's standing out, you know, how it's all come together, he was like, I'll be honest, I think the front court is as dominant as any in college basketball. I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. So it was just kind of cool how his son, the spotlight's going to be on him from a backcourt perspective and you know, shot making and all that. He's going to have obviously a clear role, but you know, Dennis Johnson, who has been such a fixture in you know, Lexington at the University of Kentucky on the football side, you know, the first thing that jumped out to him, Sean, was the front court and just how deep and talented they are.
It's a deep front court for sure. And when you look at it, like, at one point I was like, okay, is Mark Pope going to lean into Brandon Garrison, Jaden Quaintance together at times? And then you go out and you make other, you know, additions to the roster. And now you can kind of look at it and say that you don't have to do that. If you do that now, it's because you want to do it. It's not because you have to play guys side by side. So when you just look at the difference that they can make on the interior and you look at the depth of the backcourt, I just don't feel like there's an area that concerns me about this team. I think they're going to have really good guard play. I think they're going to have really good interior play. And both levels, Jack, have those guys that have high upside, like I was talking about a moment ago, that we haven't seen the best version of a lot of these guys yet. Like, you know, Jaden Quaintance comes back healthy. His upside is probably the highest on the team out of everyone. And then you look at the backcourt pieces. Like, I think Jalen Lowe can get significantly better at Kentucky by playing with better players. I think you're going to see the turnover numbers dip. Does that improve the shooting numbers? Does that improve the decision-making? But the things that makes him good, he's going to have pieces around him that can make the game easier for him at that spot as well. So when you look at this, I think the front court being as strong and kind of experience as it is, getting Brandon Garrison back for another year, a guy that knows this system, I think that was important, as having a guy there. And if you get Oway back too, if you can get a guy on the perimeter and a guy on the interior that know this system in and out, I think that's a big deal for both areas.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, wanted to share a couple quick messages from our friends at Club Lou. Club Lou is the official collective partner of the University of Kentucky and also the title sponsor of the Sources Say podcast. Club Lou was founded by UK fans strictly to support the NIL efforts at the University of Kentucky. Unlike most collectives, 100% of subscriber money, 100% of donor money goes directly to NIL. Club Lou charges no fees. Club Lou subscribers receive some amazing benefits like invitations to special events, meet and greets with UK athletes, signed merchandise, monthly giveaways, ticket giveaways, Club Lou merch, and more. Subscribe today at www.clubbluenil.com. You get to pick which sport you want to support when you sign up. Choose your sport and support with Club Lou. Also, our friends at Club Lou, they just announced Club Lou Kids. I'll be doing that with my little man, 18-month-old Billy, launching an official kids club that will offer some elite experiences for members. The best part, it's free to join thanks to our partner, Peterson Law. Click the link and register your kids today. Stay tuned for their Club Blue Kids event very, very soon. Seventh grade and under, it's easy. I signed up this afternoon, took 2 seconds. You get official Kids Club t-shirt. membership card and lanyard, access to exclusive events, athlete experiences, meet and greet opportunities, and so much more. So check out that with our friends at Club Blue while we're at it. Just appreciate everything that Roback does for us. It's the only way to describe Roback is best feel, best fit. And for those who are not familiar with Roback, they are completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable active way where Roback has been proudly leading the NIL charge, having signed partnerships with multiple college stars, past and present. And becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. Use code KSR on Roback.com for a generous 20% off for all new customers through the end of this week. So shout out our friends at Roback. We're waiting for Sean to jump back in. I think he's fixing his internet. But so if you have any questions in the chat, make sure you throw those by and I'll be sure to answer them. But yeah, this roster, you know, really I think he's jumping on right now. Actually, there we go. How are we doing? You there? We good?
I got you. Yep.
There we go. All right. We were just talked about our friends at Roback and our friends at Club Blue. But in terms of Sean, and I think audio sounds good. Everything sounds good on your end. In terms of that Travis Perry departure, and if you're looking for, you know, do you feel that it's missing anything? Do you feel like there, you know, do you need to find a replacement for that, you know, break in case of emergency point guard role, or would you rather kind of hold firm with where things stand right now?
I'm okay if they stand firm with where they are now. If something just makes sense here in the next, you know, couple of weeks and whatever, if you want to look at guys that are in the portal, or you kind of digest your roster now that the portal is closed, and you say, is there a piece that just makes sense for us for this roster that maybe fills a need that we feel like we can kind of use? Then I'm cool with it. But if they don't add another name, if they don't add anybody else to the mix, I think that this roster on paper is confidently top 15 with the potential to be top 10 and hover in that top five and compete for an SEC title and in a final weekend in the NCAA tournament. And I think that's all that we want, right? And if you can give me that now without adding anybody else, I think it's fine. Now, do they need a shooter? If you want to go get a guy like that and there's something that's available, then, you know, I think you're okay with taking it, as long as it doesn't change maybe some of the roles for other guys that you've already recruited and got in here. I think you're solid in what you have. I think you've got versatile pieces that can slide and play multiple positions for you. But obviously losing a guy at the 11th hour gives you the option to make that decision or not, right? So I think it'll be something in the coming days, Jack, that they'll maybe evaluate and look at it as a whole and see. But I think they've got enough in those areas now that I think they'll be okay if that's the way it goes.
Yeah, it's interesting because where they fall short with shooting, at least on paper, does feel like they're making up for in a lot of different areas. But if there was somebody, Sean, that you think could make a jump in terms of shooting, the way a lot of the guys on last year's roster did, who would you say could be, you know, potentially a candidate there? Like Denzel Aberdeen, you know, shot pretty well, especially as a starter, average, you know, 15 minute points a game, and shot 42% from three in that starting role, you know, and expanded minutes. Like, do you see Otega Owe potentially making a jump? Like, what does a, you know, 3-point shooting Brandon Garrison look like, building off of the kind of confidence that he was able to establish in year one? Just, you know, Colin Chandler was shooting lights out at the end of the year. Like, who could be kind of one of those breakthrough candidates?
That's my pick, is Colin Chandler. And you picked Owe as the sleeper guy going into this past season and nailed it, Jack. And hopefully whoever we pick as the sleeper again in the fall, you're spot on with it as well. But
it ain't gonna be like Otega Owe, I'll tell you that. I mean, that was a needle in a haystack. Couldn't have worked out better.
Is there a guy that's on this roster that can make that jump from previous school to this school and tap? And that's that best version of themselves that I'm talking about. It's the Otega Owe. Lamont Butler, for all the numbers and reaching the national championship game and things too, I still think his value went up playing at Kentucky. So is there another guy or a couple of guys on this roster that are going to take their game naturally and elevate it? I think that's going to happen. That's where I think some of the upside that we're talking about this team being top five, top 10 is going to come from. But Colin Chandler is mine. It's not a sexy name returning out there on the national media view, because when you're talking about a guy that averaged a couple of points, probably not going to move a whole lot of needles for you. But internally and in this fan base, Jack, the upside that we've seen with Colin Chandler, where he was ranked in his recruiting class, the improvement we saw in a short, couple of weeks there to close the season, getting more significant minutes, making shots like he did in the NCAA tournament, his progression, I think, is going to be one of the more impactful things about where this team goes this season, whether it be good enough to start at some point or be a six-man role in the backcourt. I think he adds to that shooting. I think he answers some of the questions at point guard. If you need a guy that's going to go in there and play some backup minutes at that spot. And I think that's probably my pick to kind of take the biggest jump for this team.
While we're talking about him, I want to share a story from last week. As we're approaching that portal deadline, and you just kind of, and you never know until you know. I mean, exactly like we saw with Travis Perry. It's just, until you get that official confirmation, you never can be too sure. I got a phone call from somebody close to Colin Chandler, and my first hunch when it pops up on my screen, it's I'm about to get the news that he's going portaling and that I need to be prepared, or that I was going to break it, or whatever the case was. So like my heart kind of sank and was like, dang, man, I was rooting like heck for him. And like, I he obviously has so much upside that you wanted it to work out or whatever. As the conversation keeps going, it's like, what are you talking about? Like, no, we're back. We're excited. Like, couldn't be more thrilled about year two in Lexington. Like, we signed up for this. We're going to see this process through. And the conversation kind of shifted a little bit to like Colin wants the smoke. Like, Colin wants to have some, competition this summer to elevate his game in a way that he's never been challenged. Like, he is welcoming any and all additions and new challengers that could potentially dethrone him in his pursuit of earning a starting job on the roster next season. And I thought that was just a really refreshing and cool approach when you have so many people, when almost 3,000 people in the transfer portal that are just finding new homes, and there's nothing wrong with that. But getting somebody who never even thought twice, what was even the funniest part is he wasn't even planning on making an announcement that he was returning. The plan from the beginning was just like, in fact, I had heard Trent Noah was the one that asked Colin, hey, when are you going to make your I'm returning announcement? Because I'm going to make mine. And Colin's like, we're doing return announcements. I thought it was just kind of assumed that we were coming back. And I think Trent was like, no, that's not how that works around here. We gotta, you want to get the fans hyped up for year two. You want to kind of get the like, oh, you like what you saw in the first go round? Let's run it back. Like, there's a fun side of it that I think Colin just didn't really know. And Colin was like, oh, well, I didn't know I needed to do that, but okay. So that's what makes the John Wick GIF that he put out on was it Wednesday or whatever? Like, it was totally last minute, had no plan of doing that whatsoever. And he just did it just like, send tweet, have a good time. Like, I loved that. So if we are kind of talking about, potential sleepers for next season, like, he's going into the off season with the right approach and definitely wants to smoke and is personally planning on starting next season. I know we're not penciling him in. I know Aberdeen gets all the love and Jalen Lowe and Otega Owe, obviously, but I'm here to tell you, Colin Chandler would like a word. That's all I'll say.
And I know Kentucky got to a number this year where they were deep with guys that played. Some of it was forced due to injuries, right? And guys being out. But I think the level of competition that they're going to have in practice is, I think they're going to have real battles at spot check that are going to push these guys throughout the summer and into the fall. When you're talking BG and Jaden Quaintance there, when Jaden Quaintance gets back, BG's experience in college basketball now entering year three, year two at Kentucky, you got the high upset guy of an NBA lottery pick possibly there with Jaden Quaintance. That's a lot of competition at that spot. Then you got a young McDonald's All-American coming in as well to push it. Same thing can be said in the backcourt. Colin Chandler plays a huge role in that. Now, I know as the season was going along, it was easy to kind of sit and look and think, is this what Colin wants? Before he kind of hit the spurt there at the end of the year, and the confidence is what changed for me with him. And having that confidence entering the offseason, Jack, I think is a big deal going into year two for him. But when he started getting impactful minutes, making shots, the shots that he made against Illinois in the NCAA tournament, I was like, yeah, this guy's not going anywhere. He's coming back. But at one point in the season, I wondered if this would be what he would want, would be year two at Kentucky. But it is refreshing to know that he wants to be here, and he wants to not only be here, but he wants to be in an impactful role here. I think he's found his legs back with a full year of college basketball. But to me, it's not as much about the skill set and the other things that improved. I think it was the confidence that he found from beginning of year to end of year that is going to be the biggest thing that drives him into the sophomore season. And I think he's going to be a great player for Kentucky this year. And like I said, it's not a sexy one on a national level. When you look at numbers, it's not going to pop off the page at you. But those of us that saw it and saw the flashes and know the upside that he came to Kentucky with, he's going to tap into it, and I'm confident of that.
Hoochie Man says, what are your expectations for Yelovich? And feels like no one's really talking about him.
Well,
we haven't gotten a chance to dig in on that. I really would love to
get not your, even recorded,
your,
man.
Your not initial recorded. Thoughts. Well, we did you all did of the, those rapid reactions. Yeah. Talking about every single one of them for 20 minutes. So it was just like, well, damn, do we really need to go drone on and on about it for another hour on YouTube? So that definitely my fault there, because I was doing the yapping on the rapid reactions and you didn't get a chance to yap. So please yap about Andrija Yelovich.
No, you all have done an excellent job with the rapids. It's with the way this roster moves so quickly in a matter of 2 weeks. And the pieces coming together, I thought the Rapids were a great way to introduce these guys to Kentucky fans. That it helped me catch up with, you know, skill sets and things that Matt's on it. But no, I think that a moment ago when I was talking about, are you going to play BG and you're going to play, you know, Jaden together, you know, getting him, I think kind of gives you a skilled four that we talked about that I think is valuable in today's college game. Like, if you can give me a skilled four with the other pieces, and that's where I think some of the 3-point numbers are going to come from, is at that position. When you're talking, you can slide Cam Williams and be that guy too. Like, the combinations that Kentucky can do on the interior mirror the combinations that they can do in the backcourt with different guys. And I think that's the balance that they found with these additions to this roster.
Yeah, I totally agree. Who else have we not gotten the chance to talk about? Because, you know, obviously, Yelovich was a new one. We talked. Is there who have you not gotten the chance to dig in a little bit on? Obviously, Brandon Garrison was a new one. Did you get to talk a lot about Jalen Lowe at all? Did you?
We did briefly. We talked about him and Diabate, but
we did talk about those two. And then so I guess the next wave, Jaden Quaintance. Did you talk at all about him?
Yeah, it was, so I think 10 days ago was our last episode. So what all's happened in the last 10 days, if you go back and kind of pull it, but you know, Yelovich and stuff, that's a guy that I'm coaching in Indy a couple of weeks ago. And one of my parents is a big Kentucky fan. He comes up to me after the game and he said, did you see who we got? Well, I saw the notifications, but I didn't look at the name. So then I go over and I see that they go and it's an international piece. And I'm like, whoa, this one caught me off guard a little bit. This is not what I expected to get. So that one had me watching highlights, and that's where your all's rapid reaction stuff. I get on there and I'm on my way back to the hotel and I'm listening to it. So those have been beneficial because they even taught me about some guys. And then you start digging into the tape. But we talked a little bit about Jaden Quaintance. You know, when it first happened, I think we may have recorded, Jack, the day after or so. And I think just a great addition. I think that's probably the biggest fish, obviously. That's the one that, you know, Mark Pope really flexed his muscles on. I think not getting a guy not committing to you initially when you get this job, coming back to you full circle a year later, off of a knee injury, has some college basketball experience now, has the ability, I think, to, with healthy, dominate this league on the interior. That's a big one. And I think Mark Pope has started to stack those moments over the last couple of weeks where you're starting to see the brand that he has really start to match the brand that we as fans hoped that it would be. And now it's kind of all coming together. You're starting to see the pictures of in-home visits and things and everything. Like, Kentucky's getting that cool feel now while also having the product on the court that's exciting as well.
How good can Brandon Garrison be? Because, like, obviously Jaden is the home run hit. Like, that is the one that, you know, he is the – when you're talking about potential, you know, generational talents, guys who could be a game changer on both ends and, you know, be a potential number one pick. Like, you know, will he get there? I don't know. We'll see. But, like, would it shock you if he walks across the stage as the third overall pick in the 2026 draft? Absolutely not. Like, he is that level of talent, but it kind of gets lost in the conversation with Brandon Garrison, who, you know, was very similar in a way of, you know, showed unreal flashes very often, had some really low moments where you're like wanting to pull your hair out. What are you doing, BG? Like, come on, man, we gotta grow up a little bit. Like, the maturity has to stick. But once he can kind of clear that hurdle, the mental hurdle, I think all the physical stuff is so obvious for him. Like, the intangibles are so obvious and clear for him. What does a year three of BG look like in college basketball, knowing what he did in year one in the Big 12, year two in the SEC, and kind of putting those two things and all the best traits together, hopefully taking away some of the worst traits and into a grown-up version as a junior?
The level of maturity is definitely the area of his game that if it progresses with the skill set and the experience, then I think that you're going to have a really good player. That was one of the episodes that we had, Jack. I don't remember if it was the last one, but we were kind of talking about, you know, would BG be a part of this or would he not be a part of this? And it's great to see that he is, because it hits on that stuff that we talked about a year ago about retention, right? Like, if you had gone through this thing and you lose Travis Perry and you lose BG, then there's not a lot of familiar faces outside of Colin Chandler, Trent Noah, and possibly Ortega Owe. That's still more than what we're used to around here, but I don't know if it was enough. But getting a guy that played impactful minutes on the interior back to possibly go along with a guy like Ortega Owe when his decision's made, that played great minutes in the backcourt, I think was the biggest thing. But as far as Brandon Garrison, his upside and potential, we're talking about a guy that if he reaches what he was coming out of high school at that McDonald's All-American level, Jack, it's in there somewhere. But it's another thing, the confidence meter for him has to be just as high as what is for Colin Chandler. And I think coming back for year two, you're naturally going to get that confidence boost. Are you going to see him step out and consistently shoot more from three? I think that's an area of his game that he's going to stretch the floor and try to work on that this offseason. Rebound and hit the glass, make some plays defensively, but polish up that game on the offensive end to where if Jaden Quaintance is in the game, is he that guy that's in the middle third of the floor handling and doing some of those things? Another guy that I think is going to sneak in and they're going to do some of those same things with is Diabate. It's a smaller version, but I could see him being that trigger man in the middle third, doing some things offensively for Kentucky. Just the versatility that Pope has on this roster, Jack, with multiple names, you can go multiple ways with it. But I think BG is going to – is he the guy that's maybe the sleeper? Is he going to be the trendy sleeper pick? Because it's to me, it's hard to label one of the incoming guys a sleeper. This past season, we had to because there was nothing, right? Everybody was incoming guys. But going into this year, if we're talking possible breakout guys, I think, you know, BG and Colin Chandler are probably at the top of it. It wouldn't shock me if either one of those guys are the ones that break out.
This question is definitely an interesting one, just knowing kind of the landscape and what people have been talking about, knowing that it is an important topic. And Sean, I would like to get your take on it as well. I am not personally comfortable talking about player by player by player by player in their salary and what that looks like. I know ballparks for all of them. I saw the list, you know, and again, David Sisk is my guy, like, you know, love him to death. So, you know, that's his list. And I think there are some correct numbers and some things that I haven't personally heard myself that maybe he heard, whatever. All I care about is that Kentucky has all of the money, and I know this for a fact, that it could possibly need to fill a roster with national championship level guys. Is it 20? Is it 10? Is it 15? I think we're somewhere in the middle ground of the higher and lower end of that. I do think that they have eclipsed that kind of magic number that everybody's been talking about with the 10, maybe not all the way up to 20, but again, I don't think that part necessarily matters. It's the fact that we went from a situation where we have a GoFundMe two off seasons ago, trying to raise money for the roster, and it gets like $50,000. And now we got that. We got a whole lot of that. So the support is exactly where it needs to be, is my understanding that, you know, Pope just kind of, you know, there's it kind of a flat, like, hey, whatever you need, we will make that happen. Don't ever feel like you're in a bind where you have to crunch the numbers and won't be able to afford a certain, like, if you build the roster to the level of talent that you think is championship worthy, and we'll cover the rest. And that's where you need to be when you're competing. And I think that's the magic of year one under Pope, where they did check so many boxes in year one with winning the important games that kind of got the investment where it needed to be with the fan passion and excitement, you know, the Dukes and the Louisvilles and the Floridas and the Tennessees. And, you know, they really did a good job of kind of checking a lot of those fan boxes and wanting, you know, getting fans wanting to support. Shout out our friends at Club Blue. That was obviously a big part of it, but Pope has the resources to compete in the best league in college basketball. And that's a really, really strong thing. And part of the reason why, when we talk about Final Four potential of next year's group, that it's not just, you know, hope. It's they have built a legitimate roster that if you look at the other rosters that they've had to find resources and put together, you know, the talent and depth, especially a lot of these guys got top end talent, but weren't able to build the depth that Kentucky has. That's why you can kind of get giddy about it, because Pope has the resources to you know, kind of put his vision out there and put together a championship level roster.
And that's why year one was such a success, right? Is how many years, Jack, have we had a Kentucky basketball where if it didn't end in a national championship or it even fell short of a Final Four, where we look back and say that was a successful year? Like, it's not happened much in my lifetime, because we've always we know the year end goal is to get to a Final Four and win a national title. But I guess the one thing that I'm pulling from this is Mark Pope isn't having to worry about the money at all when it comes to the support and things that Kentucky can kind of put into a roster. And like you said, he had the success that he had in year one when you beat Duke and you beat the national champion on your home floor and you get regular season wins against Tennessee and you do all the other quad one wins that they got. I think that everybody bought in. And I think that makes life easier for you when everybody's bought in on the same page. I think it makes it easier for you to field a roster like you have.
Speaking of high dollar talents and having the resources available to bring in those talents, Otega Owe, somebody who put his name in the draft and is currently testing the waters wearing Kentucky gear during his draft workouts. I think that's definitely something to keep an eye on. What is Otega's upside as a senior? How much more room to grow does a guy like Otega have after dominating the league the way he did last year and clearly being capable as the guy? What is the next step? Like, is there a next step for a guy like Otega, or is it kind of what you see is what you get from this past season?
I think the word that I'm looking for him, let's say that this thing – let's say that he comes back. Let's just play that game that it's done. Consistency. And what I mean by that is just don't try to I'm not going to get caught up in the matching the numbers from year one to year two, right? Like, even if you pull apart Oscar Tshiebwe's numbers and things, like, you see things. Like, any guy that plays another year of college basketball, Jack, that it's been as good as some of these guys have, it's easy to kind of pick apart, well, they dropped so much percent in three-point percentage, or their points per game went down 2 or 3 points. Well, does he score what he scored this year? Does he get the same number of shots? Kentucky, I think, is going to have more guys that can touch the paint and do some other things. I think the front court's going to have a punch to it that maybe it didn't collectively have this year, that Kentucky had good pieces, but I don't think they had the guys like Jaden Quaintance on the interior that can do those things. So those guys are going to require some touches. There are going to be some shots spread out across the board, but Otega's impact would be the same, a leadership role, but a guy that you're going to look up in some games this past year, Jack, I would look up and be like, okay, Otega's at 19 points. When did that happen?
It all happened in the second half. It always happened in the last 7 minutes of the game.
It would happen in just a wave like that. So is that the same type of thing that you're going to get from him, but maybe less pressure by playing with some of these other guys in the backcourt? Maybe you get a more – is it safe to say maybe a more efficient version in certain spots from him? Not having to be the primary ball handler at times against pressure late in games, I think, would be valuable for him. A very good version, but don't play the number game in comparison with this, because, one, these rosters are nowhere near comparable from an athletic standpoint. This roster is significantly more athletic top to bottom than the one Kentucky just put out on the floor. And I think that changes things a little bit for Kentucky.
We gotta ban this Josh Carter guy, man. He's an absolute nuisance. And asking if will the fan base blow up if Otega doesn't come back, y'all would legit not be a top 20 roster without Otega. We have two top 20 rosters starting and on the bench. Like, the team is ridiculously deep as is, but also we're talking about something that's like, yeah, if you're losing an all SEC talent, you guys aren't going to be as good. Whoa, don't hit me with such hard facts so quickly. Like, yeah, thanks, bro. Like, obviously, but then we would have the money that we were going to allocate to Otega to go after one of those comparable guys that would then pull their name out of the draft and then still have just as much talent or comparable talent. You get what I'm saying? Like, we're fine. Stay in your lane. We're going to be just fine over here. You all are worried about 17-year-olds and overpaying for 17-year-olds right now. We're good. We're good where we are.
I don't think any of the moves that Mark Pope has made in the last few weeks are being made because he's afraid that Otega Oweh is not going to be in his backcourt. Like, I think there have been moves that have been made to kind of go around Otega Oweh being in his backcourt.
Yeah. Jeremy Kirkreese is not coming back. He's going to enjoy the money that comes with being at Cincinnati. He got seven figures to go to Cincinnati. Can you believe that? Like, while we're talking about money, if we're just, you know, I don't feel as comfortable talking about our guys and what they're making right now, but I can throw the numbers about other guys. But Kirkreese got an absolute bag to go to Cincinnati, and I am rooting for him. Like, good for it. Good for him. He is the ultimate portal mercenary. Like, I'm so proud. Like, what a way to live, man. Like, you play 9 games at Kentucky, cash out, get to go to Cincinnati. Like, you get to get some shots up. You play a big role. Like, that's good life, man. Like, it's like the equivalent of getting fired as an NFL coach or as a college coach, or, you know, being a backup quarterback in the NFL, something like that. Like, there are certain gigs in life that I wish that I would have been like just good enough at, you know, playing quarterback, but not good enough to actually being really good at being quarterback, just like living in that backup space. And, you know, that's good, clean living. And Kirkreese is living the good life, Sean.
He absolutely is. And man, the Facebook comments when he went in the portal, though, were just so confusing to me, because so many people were like upset, like, he used us and all this stuff. And I'm like, come on, people. Like, but then again, I don't know if, obviously, I didn't factor him getting injured into the equation, but I didn't in my mind at any point really wrap my mind around him being here for another year. And
neither in Kentucky, like it's there's neither, no love, like there's no hard feelings on either side of that. It was like, hey, it was a one and done season. It was a 1 year agreement for both of us. It did not work out. We wish you the best. Thank you for, you know, being a fun guy behind the scenes. And, you know,
I do hate that we never got to see him in SEC play. Cause I think that you could have had some really crazy moments with him going against SEC competition and familiar faces that maybe you see more than once a year in the SEC tournament again. Like, can you imagine him in like the high impactful moments, like against Arkansas and Tennessee and some of those other games, like what we could have seen? It would have been entertaining, but I wish him well at Cincinnati, and man, if he's able to get those kind of numbers, I think he made the right decision.
Yeah. I'll never fault a kid. And that's what, I did need to block the Tennessee, but like, there's also an entertainment value of being able to look at the Tennessee fans and like, just kind of like, wow, they're dumb. Wow. I can't believe that people can be that dumb. Like that'd be crazy to be that dumb.
I love when you get to control the board on here, by the way, and you're in charge of what goes up, because it's so obvious when you do it and when Steven's doing it. Cause
I also totally have no different choice but to be distracted. Like I am in charge of seeing what is on the, like with the comments and like what the chat say, like putting the stuff on the screen and all that. It's like, I'm producing on the fly. So it's like, I can only do one thing at once, and that's life. We'll start wrapping up here soon. So if any other questions that you have, make sure you ask them until then. I think I have one more ad read. I don't even remember which one it is. I know exactly which one. Enjoy the home court advantage with our friends at Monticello Bank and their HELOC special. Use the equity you've built in your home to finance special home projects and improvements. Score big with a fantastic introductory rate and attractive closing costs with 20 locations in 14 counties across Kentucky. We're just around the corner, so hurry in and speak with one of our mortgage lenders about this limited time offer today. Find us on the web at nbc.bank.com. Monticello Bank, where people matter. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Sean, that Braden Hawthorne is a name that, Kentucky got on an official visit. Some kind of mixed reviews on like how that one's going to unfold. I think it went well. I think, you know, good kid, good family, but I do want, like, I think the staff does kind of wonder if he would be okay with taking like a whether it's an official official redshirt role or like a glorified redshirt, where it's like, hey, you're only going to be getting in like victory cigar situations. I don't know if it's going to be him. I think he's still an option, but what's the value there? Like, knowing that we are in the portal era and there is such a, you know, what is long-term development for any program? We're getting kind of the best case scenario with, you know, Colin Chandler, Trent Noah, and guys like that coming back, Brandon Garrison. But like, what it, does any roster truly need a player like that in today's era anymore?
I don't think so. I mean, you're seeing firsthand how hard it is to hold on to those guys, even when they're the state's all-time leading scorer in high school basketball. Like, that's tough. And when you get to that, and I get it, like, obviously, we've already talked about Travis a ton, and it was the right decision for him and probably the right decision for Kentucky based off what they're going to have this year. I just think it's hard to hold retention. And that's why I said it a few weeks ago that I feel retention, Jack, is going to come from rising sophomores and rising juniors. And you get 2 years tops. Let's just say on average 2 years out of those middle guys. So that would be your Brandon Garrison and Otega Owe. This year's version of that would be a Jalen Lowe and a Cam Williams. Like, that's where your retention lies. And I think that that's how Kentucky is probably best at blending their roster moving forward while still recruiting a couple of McDonald's All-American, Jordan Brand Classic top All-Americans to their roster via the high school route. So I don't know. I don't think everybody has to have that guy. And I think you're going to see some things happen where guys maybe not him, but I mean, look at some of the transfers that are on the market coming up from Division II to Division I. Like, I think the portal has forced some talent to go there that maybe the redshirt thing's not really what it was at one point. Maybe it's almost going and playing at that level. Then you got 3 years. You go be a D2 All-American or a freshman All-American, and then you transfer up and play 3 years of Division I. I mean, you're seeing that happen now in the SEC and other places.
I mean, we're seeing that with
– Barnes takes on to Millsboro Cracker Barrel. We've not even got to talk about that.
And, like, is Travis Perry not what that was? Like, was that not kind of what the goal was bringing him in? Like, nobody was expecting Travis to come in and play 24 minutes a game. So that is the risk of, like, hey, if we bring in somebody like that, they have – like, I think Brandon Ramsey brought up a good point where if you're going to bring in a development guy, you almost have no choice but to have them be on a 2-year kind of period, like on a 2-year, like, hey, you're almost where you need to be in year one. Like Malachi Moreno is a perfect example. Like, I think Malachi is not going to play a ton in year one with the plan of, hey, learn alongside Brandon Garrison, learn what Amari Williams did last year. Like, he is so gifted in terms of, you know, playing that kind of point center, like facilitating, playmaking, you know, offense running through him in the half court, but understanding the SEC pace and the physicality and the aggression and those types of things that you just got to get with experience. Malachi is a perfect example of learning the ropes alongside of Brandon Garrison, alongside of Jaden Quaintance, and then kind of being able to take that next step. You know, hopefully we're in a situation where Brandon Garrison's good enough to turn pro after next season. And then Malachi is in a position to kind of pick up where Brandon Garrison left off and just kind of, complete the cycle in 2-year cycles instead of 4-year cycles. I don't know what the path is to 4-year players anymore, knowing, you know, maybe the rules of the rev share and the, you know, house settlement, maybe the verbiage comes through in a way that it makes it more, I don't know, appetizing for something like that. But right now, as it's currently constructed, I'm just having a hard time seeing that makes sense.
I think it's going to be difficult to get to year three.
Yeah.
In a lot of programs in college basketball. I mean, I think it's going to be very difficult. I mean, you have guys across the country that are on deep runs playing on teams. I mean, heck, Kentucky's got Denzel Aberdeen, who just won a national championship with Florida, and he's on a new roster 2 weeks later. Like, who's to say Kentucky doesn't go win a national championship a year from now, and there's somebody on their roster that played minutes off the bench that then goes and plays somewhere else? Like, that's just the climate that we're living in now with college basketball, and that's why I think year three is difficult to get to. I would love to break it down from just Power Four in a few years and kind of see what it is. What is the average number of years of players in a program? And I think we'll have those numbers here pretty soon, but you can't be held hostage by anyone, especially in the portal era. And that's like, you know, people panicking a few weeks ago because Kentucky was missing and missing and missing. And then you look up right here and you got a roster, Jack, that you feel really, really good about that is better than the one you just had on paper, and I think has the potential to be one of the top two or three teams in the SEC and one of the better teams competing for a final weekend NCAA tournament that we probably didn't see coming just 3 weeks ago, the names that are on it. So when you go out and you take a multi-year point guard like Jalen Lowe and you got a Caden Lewis coming in, that changes things for a guy, right? So a Caden looks elsewhere, but you can't sit there and walk on eggshells thinking, man, I don't want to upset someone or hurt feelings or change the way they feel about this and then take something different. You got to address the need, the immediate need that you have in this program every single year that puts you in a position to win a national championship that following season. And Mark Pope has laid the foundation for that with his brand. And I think his brand's able to go get guys now to change what it is currently. And they put a team on paper, Jack, that I believe is going to be one of the better ones in the country. And kudos to him for not trying to just go fit a 1-year guard into this. Go get a guy that you want. The rest will take care of itself. A Caden goes elsewhere. Hopefully he has a good career. And then you go get Aberdeen. There's another guy that falls right there. That's the beauty of the portal. The chaos of it gives you a headache, but you also can find solutions and answers in it too.
I texted his dad last night after the Travis Perry stuff came out. I said, uh-oh, a Caden Lewis recommitment. And he laughed. He was like, I hate to tell you, but it's not going to happen. I was like,
and I get it. I fully get it. Like, yeah. Trust me, if you're coming in and you see a guy that can be in front of you for 2 years and you don't want that path anymore, it was different than what you were. It's different, obviously, than what they were targeting initially. That's fine. You find a fit somewhere else, and that's okay. Travis Perry's looking for a fit that fits him. Just like all these guys Kentucky ended up with, Jack, they were looking for something like Kentucky. And it all works itself out. And Mark Pope has done an excellent job. His staff's doing an excellent job with it. And I get the vibe that Kentucky basketball has got a cool brand right now. It's a different brand than what John Calipari created that was cool. But this version of itself is really, really cool right now. And it's fun to follow.
This is a great segue from that. Losing the staff. I kind of had that thought this offseason of Mark Pope at various points throughout the season talked about Jason Hart and how he has, you know, long-term staff upside, head coaching upside, like, hey, somebody, an NBA team is going to snatch this guy up. It's not just, you know, college coaches that college programs that we're competing with, like NBA teams want this guy. Cody Feger, obviously one of the hottest names in college basketball. Alvin Brooks III, as established of a long-term vet coach as you could dream of that hasn't taken that jump. You know, Mikhail McLean, a guy who is on his way to becoming, you know, next man up among the hottest, commodities in college basketball. It's a good staff. It's a really freaking good staff. And I wondered if, like, you know, I didn't see like Jason Hart in a lot of the pictures of like the staff visits and the, you know, bringing the players on campus, you know, Lamar Wilkerson going to Keeneland, and you see all the other staff members and Jason Hart's not there. And I'm like, I don't want to speak that into existence, but man, I wonder if that's something that we should keep an eye on. And so there was kind of something cool today seeing all the recruit photos that, you know, Kentucky going to visit Caleb Holt and going to see Tay Kenny and going to see some of the other guys, Austin Goosby down in Texas. You saw Alvin Brooks going down there. You saw, Cody Feger, Jason Hart with Mark Pope, seeing Tay Kenny and Caleb Holt, seeing the dude, seeing, you know, some of the best that Kentucky's really going after with the staff, not just Pope by himself or, you know, Cody Feger by himself, but the getting the game, the band back together for year two. You know, it's not obviously anything can happen at any point, but you got to feel good with where things stand at this stage with the staff, Sean.
Yeah, I feel really good about it. And I'm excited, hopefully, to see those guys up close as well, you know, with in AAU and stuff this summer with what I'm doing. So I'm sure I'll be seeing Kentucky walk in a couple of times. So it'll be fun to kind of get that first off season that's not just talking potential and kind of the blueprint, because now the it's not just a vision anymore. You've been able to actually see, you know, what it is. So I think that'll be a different approach that this group will take into recruiting and to grassroots recruiting this spring and summer.
Well, folks, we've had essentially 1,000 people on with us all night long. I'm grateful for y'all. That I really appreciate each and every one of you. You know, this is a lot of fun. It's been a fun off season, but hopefully we can continue to do stuff like this. We're now getting into kind of interview featurey stages of the off season with Sources Say. So we're working on getting Pope back on. We're working on, you know, getting the assistants back on and all that fun stuff. So if you have any cool, you know, guest ideas or whatever, make sure you pop them in the chat or go to KS Board, go subscribe there. You can talk to me directly over there, much more intimately than this chaotic YouTube chat. So make sure you go subscribe to KSR Plus. Make sure you're subscribed right here on the KSR YouTube channel. Sean, where can fans find your work?
I hope you have that graphic.
Buddy, we're producing on the fly, so let me
Jack's gonna have it. Bang. There it is. Bang. At _ Coach S. Smith.
Find me on Twitter as well at Jack Pilgrim KSR. And folks, it's been fun. We'll see you on the next time. The other side, whatever it is. I had a lot of fun. Go Cats.